Hey, this is James from StrawPunk.com, and we've got another solo episode, part two to our Camping Basics series that we're doing. Couch Potato Mike couldn't bring his ass over to do the podcast in the morning time on Saturday, so you get the Survival Punk James. So just a little friendly ribbing there to him, but my voice is fine, so I can do a solo episode, no problem, you guys. Before bed, and then you guys can enjoy it while I sleep all day so I can go to work tonight. But anyway, like I said, Camping Basics Part 2. Unless any of you guys send me follow-up questions, which I can tackle individually, you know, or like a Q&A type show, we're going to call Part 2 the end of this series. And move on with new topics. So, Camping Basics Part 2, we're going to cover food, water, and energy. And in Part 1, if you didn't listen, episode 95 on the Survival Punk Podcast, we covered shelter and location. Shelter, location, fire. The good ones, the fun ones. So now we cover food. Who doesn't love food? Water. I'll try to make it overly boring. When we did the whole episode Survival Water, it was the most boring episode ever. And I was like, I'm sorry, you guys. Because this episode sucks. I just couldn't get pumped about water. I couldn't bring the thunder. But today I will bring the thunder, you guys. Let's start with food. I love fucking food. I love food a lot. When you're going camping, so in part one we talked about the different kinds of camping. Like you have car camping, you've got backyard camping, you've got, you know, off-trail hiking camping. So not to go into that, because that would completely alter it. If you're backyard camping, you just bring food out and, you know, cook it. No real need there. Nothing even to worry about. You're in your backyard. You can grill out and eat that food for all you care. So we're not gonna break it down like if you're car camping, you can bring this. If you're doing this, we're just gonna cover if you're backyard camping, take this advice or just eat food from your house. Whatever. But the other types of camping, this is definitely applicable towards. So first off, fresh food. There's a lot of foods that you can take camping and vary your diet accordingly. So, you know, like if you're going car camping, you can take a cooler and you can keep food in the cooler for a couple days. You know, depending, like if you're taking hamburger meat or something, or hamburgers, you're going to want to eat it like the first day or two in a cooler, even like a good cooler, unless you're an idiot and bought a Yeti cooler for like hundreds of dollars, then it can go longer. But otherwise you kind of want to prioritize that, but like you can take an apple with you. An apple will be fine for the entire time. But when I'm talking about fresh food, I will, oftentimes when I go camping, I'll get fresh things like hamburger patties or sausages or hot dogs or something. I'll freeze them, wrap them in aluminum foil, and then I'll wrap them in, like, say, a wool sweater or something in the pack. And I'll take that with me, and I'll eat that the first day or two. If you're hiking in somewhere, by the time you get hiked in and ready to eat the food, it's defrosted and ready to be cooked. So that's, you know, and that you can take along with you eggs. Eggs, as we know, really don't need refrigeration. They come out of a chicken's butt and they just sit there. You know, if you've got farm fresh eggs, they'll last even longer. I saw a report that Mother Earth News did where they tested methods of storing eggs, and using farm fresh, unwashed eggs. They left them on the counter for 6 months with nothing. Just eggs on the counter, 6 months. At the 6 month mark, they weren't as good. But they're like, we're going to stop at this point. The consistency got a little runny, even, you know, after cooked, obviously. And they weren't as good, but they ate them at 6 months, and they didn't get sick. So even without any methods of preservation, especially farm-fresh, unwashed eggs, will definitely last your entire hike. And they have those little egg carriers that'll keep them from busting in your pack. Otherwise, you know, store-bought eggs will last without refrigeration. I would be okay with a day or two, easy. I mean, really, for most camping, you know, 2 to 3 days max is what you're gonna do. You could probably push them to 3 days. I wouldn't even really have it to you. I mean, obviously, if an egg has gone bad, you're gonna fucking know. You're gonna crack it open. Oh, that smells like sulfur. Fuck this egg. You know. But I've left them out for days and then just forgotten, you know. So, but even better, find a local friend or something selling eggs and get farm fresh eggs, and then you know you're good the entire trip. So, eggs or something. They and this isn't super fresh, but in where you get your normal bacon from, they have those packs of ready to cook bacon. Not ready to cook, already cooked bacon, like microwavable type bacon. None of that stuff requires refrigeration. I've taken packs of that pre-cooked bacon camping before, and I mean, it's basically dehydrated jerky. I mean, really, it is. You cook it up. It's not the best bacon ever, but it'll do you. And you could take that with you, you know, especially car camping or whatever. Car camping, I would just take a package of regular bacon, especially in a cooler. Small pack of bacon, especially if you go with friends, you can cook that up and eat it and not even worry about it. I've seen on Dave Canterbury's channel, I'm rambling. This is what you get when you get a solo episode. You just get a rambling-ass episode, but deal with it. So Dave Canterbury did the traditional salt-cured pork bacon. And that doesn't even need refrigeration, really. The stuff you get in stores, I wouldn't trust it as long. I wouldn't trust it, really. If you make salt-cured bacon at home, then, you know, obviously you're familiar with it, and you can take it longer. I generally, on the camping trips, will just stick to the shittier pre-cooked bacon, since it doesn't even need refrigeration. And Oscar Mayer, I think it's Oscar Mayer, they've got a thick cut pre-cooked bacon that's not terrible. It's definitely not, you know, so little personal information. My favorite brand of bacon is the Wright bacon. I get it in like 3 pound, you know, blocks at a time and eat on it for 2 weeks. So paycheck to paycheck. That's why I budget my bacon allowance is, you know, whatever the Wright bacon is going for. Which is how I know how the economy is, you know. And it's so much better than, like, the Gwaltney and other shit bacon. So, I like it. But even the smaller packages of that, like the 1 pound package, unless you're going to eat a pound in a day, I would be iffy about it. It needs refrigeration. So fresh food, like I said, if you freeze it and then take it with you, it'll last like a day or so. Especially if you wrap it in aluminum foil and like a wool sweater, for insulation. If you've got a cooler, then you've knocked that time out even further. Or, you know, like I've gone camping like, with the Zombie Squad people on the Zombie Con, and people just sort of make trips into town to get fresh food, which kind of a waste of time. But, you know, special days, like, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go get steak today, or you bring it in one day, that's fine. So, fresh food, the next level, so fresh food is usually what I have day one of camping. I'll have my fresh food, you know, steaks or hamburgers or whatever. Day two, I move to other options. So, everyone knows, like, the dehydrated, like, the Mountain House meals for camping or whatever. They're dehydrated. You pour in boiling water. You let it sit. It rehydrates. And then you've got a meal. And, you know, Mountain House is pretty prevalent. You can find it everywhere. It's, I think, around $5 to $7, $8 a meal. They're getting to be some really good, interesting companies out there. Like, my friends at Paleo Meals To Go, they've got paleo, you know, friendly, you know, organic, high quality meals, and they fall into that same. I think theirs are $9 to $12. I'm not 100% sure right now, but Paleo Meals To Go. I think you can get there if you go to survivalpunk.com/PM2Go. It'll get you there. If not, I'll look it up. Anyway, so, you know, Mountain House, Paleo Meals To Go, and there's a thousand other, like, variants now. Like, Walmart has a knockoff something-something dehydrated camping meals, and they're, I think, under $6. So, you know, as a quick, not even, I mean, it's not going to be a great meal, I'm not going to lie to you. Those things are generally edible, but not, they're not going to make you happy. And you're safe in that you know that they have a long shelf life. That's good. You're going to be good on that. You know that obviously a lot of these things have like 7 to 12 year shelf lives. You know, for like a 3 day camping trip, you're good. If you stockpile on them, you can just grab from your stockpile, you know, and pick and choose what you want, and you're good to go that way. So there's that. A lot of them are loaded with preservatives and stuff, and if that bothers you or not, you know, sometimes camping, you know, whatever, just have a Mountain House. What did I like? The chicken and rice. I like the chicken and rice that they had, or have. I'm sure they still do have it. Their breakfast one, the bacon and egg scramble thing, disgusting. Worse than eating booger snot. So not exactly the best thing. I'd much rather hike in with my eggs and make fresh eggs and the, like I said, the pre-cooked bacon stuff, or salt cured bacon if you can get it, like I said. So I mean, I don't want to take long. There's a million, and they're popping up even more. Like, if you go to a sporting goods stores, REI or whatever, you can find tons of these, like, meals, you know, fancy organic ones, better ingredients. They're popping up, like I said, Paleo Meals To Go. You can get, I'm sure, and there's vegan meals, you know, for whatever your dietary needs are, and you can find something for that. So there's that, DIY options. I've covered this a few times. I had a long, long sort of dominant post on making your own, camping meals. And, you know, cause I'm cheap. You may know this, guys. I'm cheap. And I don't like to spend a lot of money. So on the Mountain House meals, they get kind of expensive. And wanting better quality ingredients without a lot of bullshit in my meals, when I first started making my own camping meals, there weren't a lot of options. Now if I was playing a good camp, you know, I would go to like Paleo Meals To Go. Or I would make it myself. So one of the things I used to do was you can dehydrate a lot of the meals. Like, you can just make stuff and I've covered this. You can just make like Hamburger Helper, which is what Mountain House is really, and just throw it in your dehydrator on one of those trays to keep it from sloshing through. Just dehydrate it, vacuum seal it, throw it in your fridge until the day of, and it's not freeze dried. It's not going to last 7 years. But it'll last a week or two, easy. I've made these meals and taken them out for, you know, hikes, tons. I did a little extra step, and then someone on the internet gave me flack, but they're a dumb cunt, and me and probably thousands or millions of others have done it. It's called Hot Rock. So you take ground beef, you cook it in a skillet like normal. When it's fully browned and you chopped it up and you get little balls and whatever, drain it, wash it, put it back in the skillet, cook it longer to try to get even more grease out, and then put it in your dehydrator, or if you don't have a dehydrator, put it in your oven on like the lowest temperature, so warm or 100 or whatever you got, and then crack the door open, leave it overnight, and then when you get done either dehydrating it for overnight or putting in your oven on low or warm, you've got like, it's really weird. It's like dirt almost. It's like these little hard pebbles of ground beef. And then, you know, just throw those in a mason jar with an O2 absorber and it lasts forever. Because you've basically removed pretty much all the fat from it, which is what's going to go rancid more than anything else. First, of course, you know, and this, I wouldn't let it sit there for years. If you're going camping next week and you make them early, no problem. You know, after I'd make those hot rocks, I would dehydrate other stuff like salsa. And I'd make like taco meat, so I'd flavor the meat with taco meat, you know, like cumin or whatever, taco seasoning. And I'd make like a taco bowl. So, you know, you get creative. Like, whatever you eat, try to break it apart to its core components. And what I do is I try to dehydrate those core components. I felt that I got a better rehydrate if I made the hamburger hot rocks, and then I dehydrated the salsa separately, you know, and everything else, and then I combined it together. There used to be some store-bought options of you know, things you can get. Like, obviously, the Spam foil packs. They used to, and sometimes if you're lucky in a clearance aisle, you can find the Libby's seasoned beef crumbles. They had like regular, like seasoned with, like, I guess just salt, and then they had taco flavored. And there were full packs of just hamburger meat that'd been like foil packed with like seasonings and whatnot. And, you know, to make like on the road, like, you know, tacos, like you throw in like, some of that packet and then like some tortillas or something, and you can make tacos on the trail. You know, and then another, you know, rambling James. I tend to take a lot of things camping. Like, I'd find smaller sort of like, things of summer sausage or like hard sausages, and then take them and, you know, slice them and eat them as I go. They're made, you know, to last. Even unwrapped. I gnawed on a summer sausage for like a week one time, and I'm still here, guys. So, I mean, don't listen to everything I do. You know, I'm a risk taker, but for a day or two. So that's why I try to get these smaller salamis and sausages. That way I would eat that whole thing, you know, within hours of opening the package. You know, I'd take several of them with me, you know, like a couple salamis, a summer sausage, all in the smaller size. That way I'm not stuck with a huge log of summer sausage, you know, molding in the sun. So, with that, you know, like I said, Spam, full packages of, tuna fish, you know, you can get, like little things of mayonnaise and, you know, make food like that. What else did I take? You know, dried, and like I said, whip out your dehydrator, you know, and make dried fruit and dried veggies. You know, some of them reconstitute. You can make a soup out of them. Beef jerky, that's another thing I take with me. You know, there's no reason to, you know, always have to spend all that money on like a mountain house. You can be creative and, you know, make food on your own. You know, a lot of things like sitting a pot next to the fire. You know, you can make a soup, you can make lots of stuff with, I mean, if you do beans and stuff, you can take like a bag of beans and, you know, throw in your pot and throw in some jerky, you know, and make a soup out of that. You know, whatever, there's ways to make what you're used to eating generally, if you only eat fast food and you're trying to make fucking McDonald's out in the woods, you're fucked. So, you know, well, I mean, We've all learned that McDonald's food never goes bad, so just grab a couple bags of it and then just leave it in the ground. The ants won't eat it, the birds won't touch it, the bear will run from it. Fuck. I mean, just take that food with you. But for the rest of you, you can figure out how to make versions of what you normally eat. And like I said, people have gotten away with just like making like a hamburger helper and dehydrating it. So if you make something with that sort of watery consistency, you can just dehydrate it and then rehydrate it. Won't be perfect, but it'll be decent. You know, and you're not always eating five star on the trail. Before we move on to the wild edibles, I just want to touch on real quick a very important part of camping, and that's coffee. You don't want to go camping without coffee. I don't want to go camping without coffee. I don't want to live without coffee. So, and I had a friend, James, who used to run a survival website. He carried a AeroPress, which is an interesting sort of French pressy kind of way. It uses like vacuum to pull the coffee up and extract it, and you get away. It extracts it more pure, and I've heard it makes a really good cup of brew. So there's that. Like that was in his bug out bag. Like he had the AeroPress in his bug out bag, dedicated to if I go camping, hiking, or the apocalypse happens, I'm gonna have a damn fine cup of coffee. I don't blame him. So there's that. One time I tested and reviewed this, like, what was it, like Bag of Joe or something? Like it was this, you poured into like this, it was kind of like a Mountain House meal sort of thing. Like you pour boiling water in this like foil baggy thing, let it brew for a few minutes, and then like you've got a bag of coffee and you just pour cups of it. I don't even remember what it was. Whatever it was, wasn't the best cup of coffee I ever had. It wasn't terrible. But just wasn't great. My coffee method is, I mean, the way I make coffee at home is pretty off grid. It's a pour over method, so that works. I mean, if you can bring sort of funnel and your coffee and then pour it over in like, cause I use my Solo stove pot to boil water and to make coffee at home anyway. So that's exactly what I do on the trail. And to be honest, I'm kind of lazy sometimes when camping. I don't want to actually like brew, and you know, people use those percolators, and that's more weight to add. I generally will take a Ziploc baggie of a high quality instant coffee. I found it one time at not Trader Joe's, not Publix. It was at Publix. Café Bustillo, which is an espresso coffee. You can get it pretty much any store has the regular café, and I may be butchering it. I've taken years of Spanish, but I'm not the best. Bustillo, so it's like espresso coffee beans that are ground. You can find at Publix at least once, and I'm sure you can find on the internet, that espresso instant coffee. That shit is delicious. besides that, I mean, the Starbucks Via are delicious, but they're ridiculously expensive for their like little packs of instant coffee. So I can't really endorse that. I mean, if you've got the money to spare and you want to take some Starbucks instant coffee, by all means, enjoy. You can pack like I said, the percolator. You can take a French press, the AeroPress. Or you can cowboy coffee it, which I taught Serenity this method one time. She was complaining that her mom's coffee maker at home was yucky and she didn't want to brew coffee in it. So I was like, well, just boil some water in a pot. And so you break it down to, I tend to be I'm very loose in every recipe I do. It's like, oh, pinch of this, pinch of that. When it comes to coffee though, motherfuckers, I'm dead serious. Like I break it down to exact numbers, which is weird because I can't bake because I can't wrap my head around the exact numbers. But with coffee, I'm serious about it though. With coffee, you want 2 cups of water to 4 tablespoons of coffee. So for your cowboy coffee, you take your Solo pot stove or whatever stove you're cooking on the out there, on whatever method, so fire or cook stove. Boil 2 cups of water. Put in 4 tablespoons of coffee, let it come to a boil, let it get there, take it off the heat, Let it sit until all the coffee grounds pour to the bottom. And then very carefully pour it into your cup. Or just drink it. If you've got... If you're in desert survival and you have a straw, you know, a flexible tube for getting water, you can always just siphon the top off and leave it on the bottom. Whatever. It makes a good strong cup of coffee. So... you know, that's not a bad option. I generally stick with higher quality instant coffee just cause I don't want to pack along something to brew coffee with. But I might work on that. I might actually work on a Survival Punk, DIY trail camping pour over method. So stay tuned. Maybe I'll sell it. Who knows? After I give away the instructions, because I open source everything, guys. So, coffee, we've covered it. Let's move on to wild edibles before I have to make this into a fucking three-part series. Because I got to get to bed and get this thing published. Use guys. So, wild edibles. Especially if you're backyard camping, the wild edibles may or may not even be applicable. If your backyard, like say you have woods behind you, you might have... If you're car camping for sure... I would say bring along a wild edibles book and go along and try to like see something, try to identify it. Always do that. See a plant and look it up in your book. Try to identify it. Try to. Don't eat that plant unless you're damn sure, though. But on some things, there's not really like a poisonous counterpart. Whereas, like, if you're walking and you find blackberries or raspberries, there's nothing. I'm research it for yourself. There's nothing I know of that looks like a blackberry that is poisonous. If you see a blackberry, you're safe to eat it. I've tried wild strawberries. They're decent-ish. They're smaller. They're more bitter. They're not bad. You know, there's lots of plantain, which is not toxic, but isn't really like a good thing to eat. Dandelion flowers are not bad. You know, there's a lot of things that like, you know, and you know are safe. Look those up and see how to use them. Purslane, you know, cattails, you can probably find them around. They're not really the best. So, you know, take a trip and you might find something. What was it? Oh, yeah, at my mom's house camping one time in her woods surrounding her property. I think it was raspberries. So I got a harvest of raspberries. And that was yummy. You know, and I tried a few other little wild edibles. But, yeah, try to find one that you can identify and give it a try and become familiar with it. Like I said, pick ones that you can damn sure identify. Don't go out mushroom hunting. If you go mushroom hunting, then you need to search long and hard to find an expert mycologist. Oh, I knew the word for it. Find a mycologist that... you know, focuses in edible mushrooms, that does like mushroom walks, and then even be questionable about that. I've always avoided that whole area of wild edibles. Mushrooms are too sketchy, too iffy, and there's too many ways to kill yourself with mushrooms. So at this point, the only mushroom I can identify is psychedelic mushrooms. And that's not going to get you out of a survival situation. That'll probably put you in one, guys. So, we've covered food. I want to get to water before time runs up. So, there's a couple ways to do the water situation. You're not going to, like, neck it and survive it out there for, like, 3 days with no water. I mean, for a fun camping, like if you want to go out there and test yourself, then, you know, fine, and make sure you have water at the end of that 3 days to not die. But I wouldn't do that. I'm not suggesting that you try survival camping without water for 3 days. Don't do it, guys. Food, yeah, sure, fine. You'll live. Whatever. I mean, you don't even got to worry about dying from not eating for like 20 days. You might be cranky as shit, but, you know, don't worry about it. So, like I said, if you're backyard camping or car camping, for sure, bringing water is not even a problem. Backyard, there's probably a hose or something. Or you can just walk in your house and get a glass of water or, you know, fill up your Nalgene bottles and take out there because you're not transporting it very far. Car camping, I usually will bring a couple gallons of water with me. Sure, I can find water, you know, and sometimes, depending on, like, if you're going to, like, a camping sort of spot, like a, I don't know, KOA or whatever, there'll be water for you to have. Like, there'll be a spigot somewhere, or there'll be a bathroom, or there'll be water to be had. I still bring in, like, jugs of spring water just to have them. There's no reason not to. So, yeah, that's definitely, I mean, if you're going car camping, backyard camping, for sure, grab some jugs of water. If you're going, you know, backwoods camping, you're going to want to bring some water, but you're going to want to be able to find water and make it safe to drink. And even if you're, you know, depending on where you are sort of car camping at, doing that, you know, as a practice or even in your backyard, as practice is still a good thing to try. You know, that way you're getting used to these skills in a safer place so that if they're an emergency, you're familiar with them and you don't have to think about it. It's like ingrained in you and you're good to go. So easiest, safest, best way, boil it. Unless there are chemical contaminants, which will get pure, you know, intensified by the boiling. Boiling should solve most issues. If you're in the woods and you find a stream and you fill up your metal Nalgene container or your canteen or whatever, and you boil it, you're good to go 99% of the time. That'll, you know, so that's pretty much like the main go-to. That's why I've standardized my, you know, all of my kits have metal water containers so I can boil in them. Before that, I would make sure I include like if you have a plastic Nalgene, you can get that Nalgene metal cup that goes, you know, will nest on it, the nesting cups. That's another good option. You can boil two cups of water at a time. You know, with the all metal containers, you can put the entire container in there, which is usually a liter, and boil a liter at a time. You know, which is good. And so besides boiling it, you can purify your water chemically. There are several ways to do this. What is it? Magnesium for, well, anyway, there's some weird chemical that you can put in there. Iodine, tincture of iodine, 2%, that will purify water. If you can get iodine crystals, which is what Ron Hood used to promote, the iodine crystals will purify thousands and thousands of gallons of water. I used to just have a little bottle of 2% tincture of iodine. You put a couple drops in there. There is an equation. You know, this many drops for this many liters. Shake it up. Let it sit for this long. It's purified. It will kill, I think, most everything. So that's good. You'll have to look it up. I'm not going to give it to you on the air. It's couple drops, because it's a dropper, not tablespoon. You put a couple tablespoons in there, you're going to be shitting your brains out, guys, or throwing up. So iodine, you can take pure bleach, unscented, of course, and there's another equation for that. It is probably a couple drops per quart? No, liter, yeah. But like, I'm not gonna give you that. You'll have to look it up for yourself, because you just forget by the time you go do it anyway. So you should. What I would do is on your container that you take that has your bleach or iodine on it, right on there. And this is what I did with my iodine. I wrapped it in bright yellow duct tape and wrote on it the equation. This much, you know, this many drops per water. leave it sitting as long. That way the instructions are on there, and you're good to go. Same thing with bleach. If you do that, if you have a dropper of bleach in a secure thing, right on there, this many drops per this, leave it for this long, good to go. Definitely don't take the word of some guy on a podcast for your life without researching it for yourself. Use guys. So yeah, chlorine, that'll do it. You can get like Chlorflok tabs. They'll do it. If you go to the camping section in any store, they'll have like purification tabs, a couple different varieties. And with that, a lot of the chemical purifications will leave your water tasting less than desirable. So that's when I bring stuff along, like little flavor enhancements. I like True Lemon, True Lime. I like them a lot. They give it a lemon or limey flavor. And you don't really need to use a sweetener with it because it gives a little bit of flavor. You can get, like, you know, the drink packets to add, you know, tea or coffee or lemon or lime or whatever. There's all kinds of drink packets out there now. They make those little squeeze bottles of like, liquid enhancements. They have an energy one that's not too bad. So pick your poison, guys. And then we've got sort of, there are mechanical purifiers. There are like the ExoStream bottles that will purify the water. So you just fill the bottle, drink out of it. There's like water pumps that will purify it. What is it? The Katadin Micro Hiker and some other stuff. Most of them run about $100 to pump in the water, and they will filter out, I think, 99.9% of viruses and Giardia and whatnot. They make hiking versions of things like, what is that thing? There's a UV light pin, the Steripen, yeah, that you can take with you, and the UV light will purify the water, you know, if you leave it there that long. I mean, the Steripen definitely I would not trust for backwoods hiking, especially as your only means of water purification. Some of them take batteries. Some of them have crankshafts with lots of moving parts, and it just seems like a recipe for disaster. I think the Steripen more shines in, like, you're traveling to a third world country and you're drinking water in a restaurant and you want to purify it. Yep, works right there. So I tend to be, I have not got a water purifier. I tend to use iodine or Chlorflok tabs, or boiling it. Boiling's number one, so, and it doesn't leave you with a funky taste. And we're going to move off of water, because God knows, you guys are probably asleep now, me talking about water. Oh God, it's Ben Stein talking about water on the podcast today. Energy. So we're going to wrap this up with energy. We all have modern devices. God knows if you're going camping, you're going to have your cell phone to either possibly be able to make calls on it, or if you're super off the grid, backwoods camping, then you're not going to be able to make calls, but you're probably going to want to take pictures to show your friends and family. And there are other devices, your headlamps, your flashlights, all those take power, and even on like a 3-day trip, you might burn through some of that. So first up is, which is extra batteries. I mean, if you're taking your headlamp, I usually have a few changes of batteries. My headlamp, I think, takes 2 AAA batteries, and I usually take 8 AAAs, not counting what's in there. As backup. So, and I mean, 8 AAA batteries, you know, takes up less space than a deck of cards. Yeah, so, I wouldn't say taking less than 3 battery changes just in case. If you took 2 backups and what's in there, and make sure what's in there is fresh, then you'll probably be okay. Probably. Really? I mean, So, I don't know. I'm fond of, yeah, four backups plus what's in there. That's just me though. And a lot of my other, well, like I said, a lot of my other devices do take AAA. So I tend to standardize on the AAAs, and it works out well. I've got a, is it AA or AAA? I've got a backup phone charger that takes exchangeable batteries, which I kind of like because I can just pop in new batteries and not worry about having to, plug it up and charge it and have it run off that. And I like that. Well, like I said, you can just put new batteries in there. It, I think, uses AAA batteries, or it might use AA's. I don't remember. And they make those like, just battery backup chargers. Like you just charge it up. You can charge your cell phone once or twice off that, depending on how many milliamps it has. More milliamps, more power capacity it has stored in it. So that's always a good thing to have. Depending on how much devices you actually want to take. If you're planning on taking like a laptop or something, your energy concerns have just like quadrupled. Like that's a whole different ball game there. I personally, I would never ever take a laptop camping. I just wouldn't. Not even car camping. Laptop maybe for a hotel, but not really. Tablet possibly you can get by on some of those bigger, backup batteries. Yeah, really. And then you can move on to things like solar. They make now like several cell phone and like tablet chargers that are solar. I've got an older Solio model, the Solio Classic, and it what I like about it is it can charge via USB. So you can take it charged, and on a charge, once it's fully charged, it I think charges a cell phone once or maybe twice. And then you can just open it all day, and then generally you can get a charge from a, if you have good sunlight, you can get a good charge. I forgot it in my notes, but the like thermoelectric charging things now, like I've got a power pot, and they make a few other little like things where you burn wood or you heat up the pot or whatever, and it produces electricity. And you can charge your devices that way. I have used a power pot to charge my cell phone. I have not ever gotten it all the way charged. I think an hour of running the power pot got me 10% charging. So it's a slow going, kind of an emergency thing. I mean, unless you're just gonna do it all day. If you're just gonna drop it all day, that might work. I could kind of see if you're gonna have a fire going all day and you had like that, if you're dumping the power into one of your USB chargeable battery backup devices to then charge your cell phone, that could be a good combination there. I mean, basically, you're just trying to like keep your cell phone, I mean, a lot on for emergencies, GPS usage, I would say not even so much for GPS uses, like, unless you have like a good battery, maybe even a spare battery for your cell phone. Unless you have an iPhone, then you're screwed, guys. Samsung lets me change it. And then if you're car camping, just pop it in your car, and just charge it that way. Generally with a fast charging cable, I can charge my cell phone in about an hour. So, I mean, just on idle gas, that's not going to take up that much. So, that's a good option. If you're car camping, if you're hiking, then turn your phone off when you're not using it, and have your solar charger on your backpack while you're hiking, filling up energy. And I guess that's about it for energy, guys. Solar, and I forgot about the power pot, but we're almost an hour, so my babbling ass babbled on for 45, almost an hour, 45 minutes. So let me Let me wrap this up. Get off here. Get this published so you guys can listen to it. Because this is... I'm recording it right before it comes up. And then I'm going to crash and go to bed. So, DIY to go camping, use guys. And hopefully next week... Not hopefully. Catch Your Tail Mike will fucking be back. Or... this will be a solo show from now on. Use guys!